to be two very small parshios in terms of the writings of the Avodas Yisrael, the Holy Kuznetzer Magid. But I do hope at some point, maybe today, to make a quick recording of just some highlights from those pieces. I'm sorry we're unable to do it together. But it's nice to return together to Parshas Bo, where the Rebbe has a lot of Torah. Again, Kedarko B'Kodesh, for those who are new to the Sefer, there are pieces which are much more understandable, and there are pieces which are much deeper, at least above my head. But we try our best to extract some key lessons. Okay, and sometimes we'll skip around, we won't read every word, because again, he dabbles in some very, very, very deep ideas. But let's begin from the beginning. It starts with a medrash in this week's parsha. Okay, I think the point of this first piece that we're going to look at, and it's a longer piece, we're only going to read a little bit of it, but HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, it's the pasuk that he's commenting on, happens to be that's where the medrash that he's about to quote comments. But I guess if you had to capture Parsha's bow, and really, I guess, bo b'shalach, in one sentence, and I guess really all of the beginning of Sefer Shemos, what are we doing during these parshios? We're becoming Klal Yisrael. We're becoming the Jewish people. We're becoming Hashem's nation. We're going from being a slave nation on the 49th level of Tumah, spiritually, and certainly physically, a very low and broken people, to becoming the Am HaNivchar, to becoming Hashem's people. So he starts with an interesting medrash, and again, I want to touch on just a little bit of this medrash. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem B'medrash, medrash tells us, Amar Shlomo, Shlomo HaMelech said, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. It's a pasuk in Mishlei Perek Ches. Bi Malachim Yimlochu. Kings have ruled over me. Bi Malachim Yimlochu. That through me kings have reigned. Okay, let's see the mashal. Amar Rabbi Levi. Mashal liduchas shezarchu lo haligyonos perufia. A mashal of a general. A duchas is like a general. So picture an army on the battlefield, right? And the general led his troops. Let's say they were outmanned, and yet somehow the general, with his great military strategies, he was able to lead his troops to victory. And when he won the war, when they won the battle, the duchas, the general, zarku lo haligyon. You see the word legionos? Legionos looks like the word legions. So his army, his legions, zarku lo perufia. They threw at him the perufia. What's the perufia? The perufia was some type of royal garment. In other words, they basically said to the general, since you won this war, not only did you do a great thing for our people, but you deserve, you know, you're our leader, and we want you to rule over us. So they gave him a perufia, they gave him a royal cloak. I think they say it was like a purple garment, you know, the colors of royalty. Okay. Ayin Sham, look further in the medrash there. Ma'osa pone lupas. So what did the king do? Right? What did the general do now that he was given this great authority? Pone lupas. He lowered the taxes. Right? He gave some type of financial relief to people. Ayin Sham. Right, look there further, where the Medrash tells you more. Now the Medrash goes on, just to tell you the full Medrash. The Medrash says the king lowered the taxes, and the king burnt his book. Right, the general burnt his book, I guess a book of any offenses that any soldiers had committed, or the like, or any money that people had owed. Right, basically they canceled the everyone's debts. Right, no one had to pay back their college loans. It sounds a little bit like America today, you know. They made all sorts of financial packages to help people out, and it was a big simcha. So says the Medrash, this is still the Medrash speaking, Kach lechof vav doros malach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For 26 generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was malach b'mitzrayim. What does that mean? What does that mean for 26? There's 26 generations from creation until we come to Kabbalah Satara. So you have to kind of ask, and this is really the question that's bothering the Medrash and really bothering the Kuznetzer Magid, what was the goal of the first 26 generations of world history? Before we come out of Mitzrayim, before we get the Torah, before there's a Jewish people, like what was the plan? What was going on for those 26 generations? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Mitzrayim, generation number 26. Again, you can kind of work out the math yourself, right? 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, like it says in Pirkei Avos, and then from Avram to Kabbalah Satorah, you can work it out. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you can work your way to Moshe Rabbeinu, 6 generations. Okay? So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So that's like all these things in the Medrash. This is the Medrash still talking. Pone lupas shenamar ubnei Yisrael yotzim biyad ramah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused or offered relief, right? Some type of relief package. That's Bnei Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched hand. Saraf es hashtar, he burnt the document. Again, whatever people owed, whatever debt people had. Shenamar u'moshe Bnei Yisrael asher yashu be'aretz Mitzrayim. I assume what that pasuk is hinting to is the fact that originally we were supposed to stay in Mitzrayim 400 years. Right? 400, 430. In the end, we were only in Mitzrayim 210 years. So, in theory, we owe many more years of servitude. Right? Nah, Hashem took us out. We got out early. Umotzi es haligyoinin, and he took out the legions. Vahu nikra rosh l'malchuso, he established himself as the true king, meaning anyone who had ruled during those first 26 generations, anyone who thought that they were an authority, anyone who thought they were a world power, whether it was the Paros, or the Nimrods, or it was the four kings and the five kings, or it's the list of the eight kings at the end of Parshas Vayishlach, all these other kings that we meet along the way, says Shlomo HaMelech, going back to the pasuk we started with, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I was really the one, I was always the king. I let other kings sort of run the show a little bit. But now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, L'kayim HaShenemar Bi Malachim Yimlochu. Now Hashem says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem is a fulfillment of this pasuk in Mishlei, Bi Malachim Yimlochu. Somehow Hashem reestablishing his kingdom and giving Klal Yisrael sort of their collective first mitzvah, you're now in charge of the lower world the same way I've always been in charge of sort of the upper world. So now Hashem says, I'm the king all along. It was all part of the master plan. Okay, that's the Medrash. So says our Rebbe, says the Avodas Yisrael, Ulechora bilti muvan. I don't really understand. Mashaych is yoitzim biyad ramah, L'inyin pona lupus. What is the connection between, again, Bnei Yisrael going out of Mitzrayim with an outstretched arm, or as some Mefarshim explained, that we walked out armed and ready to fight, we had weapons, Yad Ramah, whatever that means, an outstretched hand. What is the connection between that and pona lupus, and this some type of financial relief package that Hashem gave us? Now the truth is, we're not really going to answer that question today, Chevra. I want to focus on a different point. I want to just explain this medrash really through the perspective of the Avodas Yisrael. But before he does that, he says something which is so interesting. This is really, really interesting. Listen to this. Amnam al pi darchenu yuvar. Let's explain as follows. V'nakdim lefaresh akosiv bi malachim yimlochu. I want to first explain this pasuk that we're quoting again. Mishlei Perek's bi malachim yimlochu. What does it mean? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara kol ha'olamos kedei legalos ol malchuso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of the worlds. Now, worlds means actual worlds that we've never seen with our physical eyes. That's part of what it means by worlds. But worlds also means different, you know, different kingdoms, different periods of history where someone thought they were in charge. All of the worlds and all of the powers and all of the things that exist, it's all really either directly or indirectly working legalos o malchuso. Legalos means to what? To reveal, to uncover. To uncover the yoke of heaven. To bring us to an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true king. Right? Hashem lets Paro rise in power. Let's give a simple example. So that when Hashem overthrows Paro, Hashem, we're able to say, wow, we thought Paro was so powerful. Look how much more powerful Hashem is. So it's all part of the master plan of revealing Hashem's kingdom in the world. V'lezeh bara es ha'adam, v'yipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, k'dugma shalamala. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made human beings. Each one of us, in some way, is a melech, right? Certainly, the Jewish people, when we got to Har Sinai, we had this notion of being kings. You remember the Gemara? The Gemara says in Shabbos that when we stood at Har Sinai, we said Nasa v'nishma. What happened? Hashem placed crowns, two crowns on every Jew's head. A crown for Nasa and a crown for Nishma. So at the very least, we would call ourselves princes, right? If not a melech, which we do find in Chazal, that we're called kings, or at the very least we're called B'nai Malachim, right? We're the children of kings, we're princes. And Hashem made us miniature versions of Himself. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a little bit of Himself, a neshama, into us. Hashem invested in us a nishmas chayim, kedugma shelamala. Just like Hashem is the, you know, the king of all kings, the melech malchei hamlachim, every one of us has a little malucha. Every one of us has our own little miniature kingdom. Now, look at this. This is the part that's super interesting. Check this out. It's unbelievable. V'nasan lo. Now, look how Hashem gave us. Look how each of our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth. He doesn't talk about touch. But really, the four parts of our face with which we interact with the world, look how each one of them corresponds to an element of Hashem. What do I mean by an element of Hashem? He's going to line up our sight, our sound, our ability to smell and to speak or to taste. He's going to match them up with the four letters of Hashem's name. This is really deep and really interesting. And this is the type of piece, you know, that my brother of Davido would say, like, this is one of the puzzle pieces that you kind of hold on to forever. And then you plug it in somewhere else. Like, you'll figure out somewhere down the road how the letter Yud corresponds to vision, how the letter He corresponds to hearing. You'll hold on to this piece. If you're a deep Jew who wants to spend his life trying to better understand the Torah, hold on to what we're about to learn. Okay? File it away in your mind. Because you'll come up with a chiddush somewhere down the road with this idea. Okay, so let's see. So Nasan lo einayim liros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us eyes to see. Va'oznayim lishmoa, and ears to hear. Va'af lahariach, and an af, a nose to smell. Upel ledaber, and a mouth to speak. Asher arba chushim halalu, heim keneged arba osios havaya. These four senses, these four ways in which we interact with the world around us, correspond to the four letters of havaya. Havaya is how you say Hashem's name. Yud kei vav kei. Arba osios havaya. The four letters of Hashem's name. As the Arizal already explained, Kamosha Sidr HaArizal. Now, okay, so that's from the Arizal. Fine. Very nice. You can look in the Eitz Chaim and you'll see the Arizal says that. But look how he explains it. Chavra, look at this carefully. Ubir Hadavar. Ki Ayin Neged HaYud. Why does the I correspond to the Yud? Ki Chush HaRaos Hu Mishamish Tmidi. Because the ability to see, and we never thought about these things. It's so interesting. At least I never did. Ki chush haros u'mashamish tmidi. Your eye is always active. It's always activated. If your eyes are open, it's always seeing. Your eye is always seeing. Your nose is not always smelling. Your mouth is not always speaking. Your eyes are always seeing. They're in a constant state of activity. U'mashamish tmidi. It's constantly working. Kol zman cha'ayin patuach. As long as the eye is open, it sees what's in front of it, whatever that thing may be. Whether you're looking at a sefer like the Avodas Yisrael, whether you're walking down the street and you're just walking past total strangers. So therefore, the vision, the ability to see, corresponds to the letter Yud of Hashem's name. Yud, which corresponds to what? To Chochma in the Sviros. Va'atzilus, okay, kodsho shuhu tmidi. Now, let's just explain a little bit. Again, for those who are less familiar, we talk about the 10 spheros. The 10 spheros, again, are 10 ways that Hashem manifests manifests Himself within our world. We talk about the 10 spheros. Keser, Chochma, Bina, and then the 7 lower spheros, of Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. I'm not testing you on them right now. Again, some of you I know it Baal Pan. Some of you, this is a new idea. We also talk about four worlds. We talk about a world called Atzilus over here. Atzilus. Atzilus is the world of nearness, the world that's closest to Hashem. Otzel, Eitzel, means next to. Then there's a world called Bria, Bracious Bara Elokim. There's Yetzira, and there's Asiya. And Nefesh HaChaim talks about it, Tzifrei Hasidus talk about it, the Arizal talks about it. Okay, maybe you've encountered it somewhere along the way. The letter Yud of Hashem's name corresponds to the Svira of Chachma and the world of Atzilus. And he says those are Tmidi. Those are constant. Those are constant expressions. okay? I don't really want to go into what that means right now. I want to just keep it simple for now, that the letter Yud, so to speak, is that point that's always active. You could say it a different way. You could say, whenever you write a letter, whenever you're trying to express anything, whether you're writing the letter Aleph, or the letter Beis, or Gimel, or Dalet, or Hey, the first moment that you, the Sfarim explained, the first moment that you take your pen, or your quill, and you touch it to the parchment, or to the paper, that first drop of ink, if I asked you to stop right there, and I said, what letter did you draw? You didn't draw a Kuf. You haven't drawn a Lamed. If I said, what does that drop of ink look like? You'd say a Yud. If I have to say it's any letter, a tiny dot, it's a Yud. A Yud is a tiny dot. Meaning a Yud is sort of that little drop from which everything else emerges. So the Yud sort of represents that innermost life that's always present, that's ever present. Just like your field of vision is constantly active. There's a lot more to say about this, but let's leave it like that for now. The letter Yud represents Chachma, represents Atzilus, represents that part of yourself that's always active. What about your ability to hear? Continuing in the next column. Va'achar kach shmias ozen. Your ears are also always activated. They're always listening. Hagam shuhu meshamesh tmidi, even though it's also always at work. Mikol makom hu pachos mechush haros. But it's a little bit pachos. It's a little bit less than your eyes. Why? Why is that so? Shebizman she'ein lo davar lishmoa o dibur b'nei adam o eiza kol eino meshamesh bo. Because if there's nothing to listen to, if no one's speaking, if there's no sound, so then the ear is not really fully active. The eye is always seeing. But if you're sitting in a quiet place and there's no sound, right? Even though your ear is activated, it's ready to receive, but there's nothing to receive at that moment. There's always something to see if your eyes are open. You could be staring at a blank wall, but there's always something to see. That corresponds to the letter He, the second letter of Hashem's name. V'lachein hu neged os He. It corresponds to the Svira of Bina, which is connected to Chachma, upachusa mimena. So your vision is always active. Your ears are also always active. But your eyes are always what? Are always seeing things. And by the way, the eye is so much connected to Chachma, so much connected to your mind's ability to process those images. Bina, which is the next expression of thought, the next level of thought, corresponds to the ears. The ear which has the ability also to process, but a little bit less so than your eyes. Okay, again, there's a lot to unpack in the spheros and in the worlds, but let's keep it simple for now. What about your nose? Is your nose always smelling? Not only is there not always something to smell, but your nose is not always smelling. Your nose is not, right? You have to actually do something to activate it. You have to breathe in. You have to smell something. You have to use your nose. Va'af lahariach. And when it comes to the ability of scent, to smell, hu pachos mehem. It's a little bit less. Why? Ki agam shiyesh lo ezer davar lahariach. Because even if there is a good smell in the room, so to speak, there's something to smell. Tzarech ha'odem lahamshich haruach al yedei nishimas ha'avir lahamochen. A person needs to what? Needs to activate it. He needs to draw on that breath, the nishimas ha'avir, to breathe in that air, that it should be able to reach his mind, to be able to create some type of response, right? V'hu inyan ma'asi. He has to do something in order to make it happen. That corresponds to the third letter of Hashem's name, the Os HaShlishi, Os Vav. The same way that the letter Vav, in the most simple sense, Vav means and, Vav makes a connection. So if you want to experience smell, you got to connect. You got to take the smell, you have to do something to connect it to your mind. That's the letter Vav. Al-Kain hu nechshav lo Os HaShlishi, Os Vav. And lastly, the final letter of Hashem's name, of course, the final letter He, Achar kach hapeh l'daber, the mouth which speaks, shakol v'hadibur hayotz mimenu, al yedei hei motzos hapeh, heim gashmim ktsas, upechusim b'ma'alasam, v'nechshav k'neged hei achrona. Speech, in a sense, is the most physical of the senses. I have to move my tongue, and I have to move my palate, and I have to move my teeth, and I have to move my throat. So when it comes to speech, he says, it comes about through the hey motzos hapeh, the five parts of speech, the five different sections of one's mouth that are used in speech, which are a little bit more gashmi. Heim gashmi miktsas, it's a little bit more physical. It requires a little bit more of a physical activity. And therefore, it's on an even lower level. That corresponds to the last letter of Hashem's name, the letter Hey. Okay? Just a fascinating idea how these senses correspond to the letters of Hashem's name. And again, there's a lot more to say, but I'm going to ask people to hold their comments for now. Okay. So now, what happens next? So now, says the Kodesh Magid, let's go back to our topic. We were learning a Medrash about how a Kodesh Baruch Hu is sort of the general who only after he won the biggest war was finally recognized as the ruler. Right? That's what the Medrash said. That the general who led the troops out to war, when he won the war, so then they crowned him king, so to speak, and then he started giving out all sorts of rewards to his loyal troops. Right? So I don't even really want to read the end of the piece because he gets very Kabbalistic. But the idea to us is very, very simple. The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always running the show. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always responsible for what's happening. You know, let's read just a drop more. Let's read a little bit more. He says, Nachzor le'inyanenu. Let's go back to our topic. Ki mehayadua shebishas habriya yotzu zayin malchin demisu. Umelech haches hadar hametaknam. Okay? If you have a chumash, open to Parshas Vayishlach. If you don't, listen for a second. The end of Parshas Vayishlach talks about eight kings of Edom. It's one of these sections of the Chumash where you say, what does this have to do with anything? Why do I need to learn about these Edomite kings? And it tells us where they were from, and it tells us who they were married, and it tells us they died. It talks about Zion, look carefully, Zion Malchin Demisu, seven kings that died. At the end of Parshas Vayishlach, it talks about seven non-Jewish kings who ruled and died, who ruled and died, who ruled and died. But then there's an eighth king. And his name is Hadar. And Chavir, you can look it up yourself. It's on the pages of the Chumash. It's one of these psukim that like you just kind of space out during Kriyas HaTorah because I don't need to memorize the names of Edomite kings. I don't know anything about them. They mean literally nothing to me. And yet, you open up the writings of Pnimiyas HaTorah. You learn some Hasidus and Kabbalah, and all of a sudden you start to see that, whoa, hold on. These eight kings have to do with very, very deep secrets. The first seven kings, the Torah says, died. The eighth king, whose name was Hadar, it doesn't say that he died. It tells us that Hadar reigned. He was from a place, he had a city called Pa'u. His wife's name was Mehetav El, Basmatred, Basmezahav. And it never says that he died. Now, obviously, he died eventually. But the other seven kings, it makes a point. He ruled and he died. He ruled and he died. When it gets to the eighth king, it doesn't say that he died. Eight, the eighth king, his name is Hadar. Your brain has to be thinking, Chavra. You see the number eight, what's the first thing that you think of? Whenever you see eight, Nu Avi, what do you say?
L'malam en ateva.
Seven represents a natural order of the world. Eight is the ability to go l'malam en ateva, right? Eight, I start thinking about Chanukah, a miracle that was l'malam en ateva. I think about eight, I think about Bris Milah. I think about the ability to take the most physical part of my body, like we were learning earlier this week in the Nesivos Shalom, to take something which could be used in the lowest way and to elevate it into the heights of Kedusha. So eight is the ability to transcend sort of the lower realms of this world. And that's why in this world, you live and you die, you live and you die, you have your success and you have your failures. But when you talk about this eighth king, which is, it was a real person, his name was Hadar. Think about the name Hadar. Mahadrin min Mahadrin. Isn't that Chanukah? There's a lot of Chanukah Torah here, Chavra, not for now. But this eighth king, he never died. At least it doesn't say that he died. Now, our Rebbe, the Kodesh Tzur Magid, was a big Mekubal. So he's hinting to a lot of things here that we don't yet understand. But very simply, he says, it's known, for those who are in the know, which is not really us, but we're trying to be in the know, Shebishas HaBriya, that at the time of creation, Yotzu Zayin Malchin Demisu, seven kings emerged, Demisu, and they didn't last, they died. But the eighth king, this king Hadar, was Metaknam, was somehow able to provide some type of tikkun for them, some type of fixing for them. What does that mean? Peirush HaInyan, The idea is she yotzu hamidos biritzono, she yelahem rotzon lomar ani emloch. When Hashem created the world, there was sort of Hashem was sending his light. Ever hear the concept, just by a show of hands, who's heard of the concept? Leo, I know you've heard of this because you're very into this stuff. Right? You've heard of the concept of the Shviras HaKelim, the shattering of the vessels. Okay, the Oraita Chevra probably heard of it, I'm sure. And those of us who've been learning Chassidus a little bit longer have heard of it. Right? What is this Shviras HaKelim? It's when Hashem is sending his light, his energy into the world couldn't handle it. The worlds couldn't handle it. And the vessels kept shattering. They couldn't receive the light. The Kli that was supposed to receive the light couldn't contain the light, and the vessel shattered. And then the light descended. And then the next vessel shattered. Until finally, again, this is all a metaphor. Again, nothing when we talk in these mashalim, they're to give us a small hasaga, a small understanding of how Hashem runs the world and created the world. But we don't really understand anything we're saying. But this energy, this light force of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which wanted to have a place in the lower realms, right? It couldn't contain itself. Until finally it descended enough until it was able to be received. It didn't die. It didn't break. That's what the Kashas or Magid, again, I'm giving very poor explanations, but that's what the Kashas or Magid is being meramis to here. That's what he's hinting to. Hashem wants to interact with the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to establish his kingdom in the world. But you know what? There has to be sort of this failing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to establish the kingdom. And that's sort of the idea. And again, it's not exactly what the Kashas or Magid is saying here, but that's sort of the idea of why it took 26 generations to get to Kabbalah Satorah. It was sort of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, waiting to let others try to establish their kingdom. Say, Ani Emloch, I want to be the king. I want to rule the world. And Hashem said, okay, you try. Right? And some of them thought they were getting, you know, they were getting there. Until it fell apart. It broke again and again and again. The Midos, he's using more Kabbalistic language here, but he's saying the Midos, the various, again, manifestations of Hashem, that light of Hashem as was descending through the world, each one said, Ani Emloch, I want to be the king. And it broke, it shattered. Until finally, it got to a place of Tikkun, it got to a place where it was actually able to establish, you know, a kingdom in this world. But that kingdom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom. That is the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That this duchas, this general, when he led us out to battle, or again, in a Yetzias Mitzrayim sense, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, immediately we said, wow, you're the real king, you're the real one. You beat Paro, you're the real deal. And Hashem's response to us sort of is, yeah, I was always the real deal. Be malachim yimlochu. All the other kings who ruled along the way, that was all part of my master plan as well. He explains it much more about Arichas here. Again, I don't want to go into it much more now because it gets complicated. But again, it's an important reminder in those moments of concealment when it looks like Hashem is not running the show, right? That those 26 generations of creation, Hashem was always running the show. It was all part of the master plan. I'll just show you a little thing that he says here, just one more line on this piece, and then we'll go on to the next piece. He says, how did the Medrash refer to this general? What do they call him? They called him a duchas. A duchas means a general, right? The general who became king. That's the story of our Medrash, right? HaChodesh HaZalachem, when Hashem made the Jewish people his people, HaChodesh HaZalachem, he put us in charge of time, and he took us out of Mitzrayim Biyad Ramah, and he canceled the taxes, he freed us from Egypt early. That general, that who saved us? You're our king. That's right. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm your king. I'm the creator of the world. But the Medrash calls him a duchas. Look at the word duchas. Says the Kashas or Magid, the word duchas, you see chaf vav in the middle? Chaf vav is the gematria of Hashem's name, Yudke Vavke. Dalit and Samach on the outside is 64. We know, again, some of us might be skeptical about this because we don't fully understand it, but we have a concept in gematria called kolel, where you can add one. Okay? You have to understand what that means and when you're allowed to use it. But it is a true concept. So Samach Dalid could also be the same value as Samach He, which is the gematria of the way that we pronounce Hashem's name. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is 65. So this word Duchas, right, is really a combination of Hashem's two names. Chaf Vav is Yud Ke Vav Ke, is Hashem's four-letter name. Dalet Samoch is Hashem's name, Adnos, Adonai, the way we pronounce Hashem's name. So part of what, again, he goes into it by Arichos here in very deep ways, but part of what this Medrash is telling us is that this Duchas, the one we thought was a general, was really our king all along. And that's what happens here. When we recognize that, as soon as we're able to, you saved us, but you're not just a general. They gave him a royal garb, and they said, you're the king. And he says, that's right, I'm the king. I'm in fact the king. And it was all part, again, of the master plan. Chav Vav, again, interesting. Chav Vav, 26 is the gematria of Hashem's name. It was 26 generations until we stood at Har Sinai. Again, there's more connections to be made there. But I want to move on. I want to move on to the next piece for the sake of time, because there's a lot for us to see here. Okay? Let's go on to the next piece. It begins Issa B'Medrash. Leo, give me a quick comment while I just while I find it on the screen for everyone.
No, just a quick little history lesson. This is one of the most beautiful pieces of human history to me, is that shortly after the Yetziat Mitzrayim, a lot of Egyptians actually, you know, Atenism is a very, you know, very, you know, I think popularly studied thing in Egyptian history. The idea that there's one god all of a sudden after thousands of years of having many gods.
Right.
Obviously not actually, because there were the other gods that exist per se. But Amun was sort of like the ultimate one above it. And sort of like how Egyptians obviously couldn't go obviously to Bnei Israel. They couldn't go to the extent of Bnei Israel saying there's only one Hashem. But they tried, you know, because they saw, oh my God, they left Egypt and they went through the Yamsuf. Right. So I mean, to some degree, did it go into them.
And that's what we see in these parashas, right? Laman Yedu. All the Laman Yedus, so that it shall be known, it's all speaking to Mitzrayim. It's not saying Laman Yedu that the Jews should know. The Jews also for sure will know. Right? But even Mitzrayim will come to know Ki Ani Hashem. So that's very fascinating. It's very interesting. Okay, Chaver, let's look at the next piece. It's a little more down to earth, although that last piece, again, has a lot of very important ideas contained within it. Okay, the next piece begins Issa B'Medrash on page Pehei. Okay, but I actually want to just jump to where he raises the, because again, the introduction is not really going to be what we're going to focus on. So I want to jump to the lesson that he wants to teach us, which begins over here. Kvar kasavti ba'orech. Okay? Kvar kasavti ba'orech, I've explained already at length in my writings on the Gvuras Hashem. Gvuras Hashem, we're actually going to touch on today in our Gemara here. Gvuras Hashem is one of the Svarim of the Maharal of Prague. The Maharal's Sefer all about Yitzias Mitzrayim and the birth of Klal Yisrael. And our Rebbe, the Avodas Yisrael, the Kashetzer Magid, he wrote a commentary on the Maharal's Gvuras Hashem. So he says, I already wrote about this at length over there, but I want to talk about it here. And that is a terrible mistake that people make about our relationship with God. Here's what he says. Inyan ha-kvira shel ha-mitzrim v'ha-bam achareihim. The denial, the rejection, the failure to understand correctly the relationship that human beings can have with God, that the Egyptians made, and those who came after them. V'nilkadim b'reshes ha-ta'us. Nilkadim bereshes means caught in the net. They were trapped in the net of this mistake. What was the mistake? Ba'amram, they said the following. Now the mistake actually makes a lot of sense to us. So we're going to see the mistake. You say, yeah, that I understand why someone can make such a mistake. Let's say it outside first. Why would a perfect God, who is so much greater than us, who doesn't really need us, why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu create us, give us mitzvos, that we should be able to serve him? What? How does it make any sense? Doesn't it take away from the loftiness of God to want to have a relationship with lowly human beings like ourselves, who eat and drink and sleep and use the bathroom and have taivas, and are so physical? Why would an infinite being want to have anything to do with us? That's the basic mistake that people made. Ba'amram, they said the following. The mistake was, Lefi Erech Ha'eloka Ha'gadol. In accordance with the Erech. Erech means the value. To the degree that you appreciate how great God is. Or Ein Sof. Hashem, as a mashal, the best we could say, is an Or Ein Sof. An infinite light. An infinite energy. Deleis Machshava Tvisa Be Klal. That no Machshava, that no mind can grasp him at all. And that's only true about how Hashem manifests himself, we can't even understand. Ve'ein lomar ba'atzmuso. all the more so when we talk about the essence of God. In Yon Ratzon V'Shum Mida Me'Amidos, we have no idea. We can't understand. Hashem is beyond us in every sense. V'im Kein, and if so, Ein Nachon Lomar Shuhu Misnaheg L'Fi Avodas B'nei Adam. So now, what, all of a sudden, my mitzvos, my averos, all of a sudden matter to this infinite being? How could it be that lowly me, when I do a mitzvah that makes Hashem happy, when I do an avera that makes God sad? Come on. Anyone who's thinking would say that's ridiculous, it's absurd. How could it be that a baser v'dam, a human being, of flesh and blood, should be able to somehow cause this infinite Rabbono Shel Olam to respond to my behavior? So again, look at the words. V'im kein, ein nachon lomar, shu misnaig l'fi avodas b'nei adam. How could it be that? What, he acts in accordance with my behavior? V'rotze b'torah uva mitzvos, k'dei she'agil lo eza tanug v'nachas ruach, me'ashomim b'kolo. What, God wants to play this funny little game with us, that he gets pleasure, he gets nachas ruach, that's what nun ches resh stands for, nachas ruach. Hashem gets nachas ruach from those who listen to his voice. When we do a mitzvah, it makes him happy. He needs us. You put on tefillin today? Wow, Hashem is so happy now. What are we talking about? What does that even mean? How could that be? She'im kein hu geira'on be'erech ein sof. Doesn't that take away? Isn't that a geira'on? Doesn't that diminish the quality of his infinity? That he needs us, or he even enjoys us? How does that work? Why should that be? So you know what they say? You know what conclusion that leads them to? Even if you want to believe in a God? I can believe in a God, but he has nothing to do with human beings. He created the world because he has some cool tricks. So one of his cool magic tricks was he made a world. And then that's it. He has nothing to do with it. Why would he waste his time being involved with it? What does he need from it? And therefore, they come to the conclusion, Heim kofrim b'hashkachasu ba'olam hashafel. They deny the hashkacha of Hashem, the involvement of Hashem, in this lower world. What do you need it for? Ki lefi daitam eina hamida lefi kvodo uve ercho. Because it's not in accordance with his honor. It's degrading for Hashem to be involved in this world. How could you ask this great God, this Rabbono Shel Olam, to be involved in this world? V'gorin u'mosifin v'karule eloka de elokaya. And therefore they go a step further and they say, you know, maybe there's like this supernal God, and then there's like some lower gods, right? Some other gods who maybe are not as perfect, through which we can interact with. And then they create this whole system of many gods. But the top God, the chief God? You think you're going to have a relationship with the chief God? That's crazy. No such thing. Ulefidaitam ha'ashpos nozeles mekochavim umazalos. They say the interaction with this world comes about through what? Through the stars, through the constellations, right? That's how you know the world is run. So dive into the sun and the moon and things like that. But you're not going to actually have a relationship with the source, the God at the source. Right? There's no way that he could have a relationship with you. If he had a relationship with you, it would take away from his greatness. It would be degrading to him. That's what they want to claim. Okay? That's the claim. However, skipping ahead a couple of lines, says the Kazritzer Magid, what a terrible mistake. It's so antithetical to what we believe. It's so not what we believe. Look what he says. He writes, top of page Pevav, a couple lines in, Ki ledivrei hatoim vita'usam, in accordance with those who make this terrible mistake, Shehei magbiim kavod ein sof bezeh she'eino mashgiach ba'olam ha'shafel. They try to give honor to the Infinite One by saying he doesn't pay attention to this world. That's what they think they're doing. They think that they're giving honor to Hashem by saying, Hashem, you're better than us. Why would you want to be involved with us? But the truth is, says the Kazritzer Magid, and again, he connects it to the Parsha and he connects it to this Medrash, and I'm skipping over all of that. I know this is really like our Parsha slot. We're not really delving into the Parsha in a precise way. In a general way, we're learning the Parsha because this is the Parsha where Hashem chooses us. And that's what we're learning about. We're learning about why Hashem delayed the selection of Klal Yisrael, and how Hashem was really in charge all along, and how Hashem chooses us. And don't make the mistake of those people who say, what good are your Torah and mitzvos? You think the infinite God wants a relationship with lowly you? and says our Rebbe, the Kaddish Tamagi, that's a terrible mistake. That's not giving honor to God. You think you're giving honor, you're protecting God by saying, well, God is bigger than us. No. Adarabba. Adarabba. Im goyrin umatishin koach shamayla. Because by saying this, you actually weaken Hashem. And here's why. Here's his argument. Mem Mem Nun. Anyone know what Mem Mem Nun stands for? What's the Gemara term? Mimanafshach, right? Mimanafshach. No matter how you look at it, this argument doesn't make sense. And here's why. Lefi kvod habore baruchu, shehu ein sof. If you want to tell me that what? That God is so great, he's so perfect, he's so infinite. So then you know what? Then Hashem can't have, and you want to say he's so lofty, it's beneath his kavod to have a relationship with me, with a human being in this world. Well, then you know what else is beneath his kavod? To have a relationship with what? With any angel as well. That's also beneath his kavod. The distance between us and Hashem, and the distance between the greatest angel, the greatest angelic being in Shemayim and Hashem, is the same infinity. Right? So miman of shach, no matter how you look at it. Lefi kavod habore baruch hu shehu ein sof. If you look at the grandeur of Hashem, af Hashemayim, Ushmei Hashemayim, Usrafim, V'ofanim, V'chayos, all of the angels above, all of the heavens above, Heim Ka'ayin, V'efes, Nechshavu Lo, are complete nothingness compared to him. Kevan Sheheim Al Kopanim Koach Gvuli, because they're not infinite, and Hashem is infinite. So you want to say, I can't imagine that Hashem would want to have a relationship, you know, with a guy who was sitting on the couch watching a basketball game last night. Right? Me. Hashem wouldn't want to have a relationship with a guy who had a slice of pizza for lunch. I'm too human. So it's the Kaddish Magid, and it's any different than having a relationship with the highest Malach and Shemayim? Srafim v'ofanim v'chayos HaKodesh, it's any different? They're also so far from Hashem. They're also infinitely far from Hashem. Because they're also, an angel is also not God. They have a koach gvuli. They have limitations as well. Ve'ein l'chalik lifnei erach ein sof, and you can't distinguish between infinity, bein kol chalal ha'olam hanivra, ubein gar'in echad. There's no difference between anything that Hashem has created from the highest heights to a gar'in echad, to literally an apple seed, a single seed. Ki ahevdel b'neim shayich lomar. To start saying, well, you know, start sizing people up so that there's me, I'm not such a great Jew, right? And then there's Rav Herschel Schechter, he's a big Rosh Yeshiva, right? And there's Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he's very chashev, right? And then I start thinking about previous, there was once upon a time, there was a Vilna Gaon and a Baal Shem Tov, right? And then there's Malachim, and then there's Malachim on top of those Malachim, right? He says, there's the Malach Matat, one of the head Malachim. There's the Malach Michal, he writes over here. Right? They're also nothing compared to Hashem. And therefore, you have to come to the following conclusion. He writes over here, Ve'im Kain, Al Karchach, you have to conclude. Kevan Sha'olam Nivra Biritzono HaPashut. Chevra, we're putting aside all the philosophy and all the trying to figure it out. Here's the bottom line. God made you. God created you. You exist. Jonathan Berger exists, Yaakov Weiss exists, Yekusiel exists, Ellie exists, Jared exists, Jesse exists, Ozzy exists. We exist. The bottom line is we exist. Moshe Tzvi exists. Daniel Aaron exists. Yeah? Josh Smuss exists. So that's all you need to know. Hashem decided it was worth it to make me. And therefore what? Hashem gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. And therefore what? Then do what you're supposed to do. Believe that your mitzvos in some way that maybe you don't understand and maybe you can't understand. But you have to believe that your mitzvos matter. Al karchach, the bottom line is, kevan sha'olam nivra b'ritzono apashut, the very fact that God made the world. Tzrichan anu lomar, you have to say, shekiviyachol himtzi lo eiza ratzon habilti musag etzleinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, was somehow able to contain his infinity and to present it to us in some type of packaged way that we're able to what? We're able to have a relationship with him. V'lo amad shum nivra b'sod hazeh. And no human being can grasp the secret. But Chavir, you don't have to grasp the secret. All you have to know is that when you do mitzvos, when you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it matters. It has to matter. Don't fall into that trap. A trap that was, again, We don't have time to explain it more by Arichus. But that a trap that was so much a part of the philosophy of the world of Mitzrayim, right? A world of many gods. To come out of Mitzrayim and to be able to stand at Har Sinai and to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. There is one God. There's no system of gods. There's no worshipping the sun and the moon and the stars, the constellations, because that's your point of connection. That's the root of Avodah Zarah thinking, as the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. We go right to the source. You don't need to negotiate with the priest in order to get to God. You don't need to sit in the confession booth, right? You talk to Hashem straight. Kesher Yadaber Ishel Chavero, straight talk to Hashem. That's one of the wondrous secrets of our relationship with Hashem, which we can't fully understand, but we don't have to fully understand. It's part of Paro saying, I don't know Hashem. I never heard about this God Hashem. Right? I never heard that it's possible to have a relationship, for human beings to have a relationship with this God that you call Hashem. But coming out of Mitzrayim was the greatest proof that that's a possibility. We don't have to understand it. We just have to live with it. However, the hour is very late, but I want to end with one very cute, not cute, cute's a silly word. He calls it Derech Halatza. That's why I'm saying it's cute, because he introduces it that way. Right? But listen to this Vart. Go to the last piece on the Parsha. We'll end with this. Ukvar Amarti. Who can help me find it? Right over here. The piece V'Yigadta to Levincha on page Pei Zion. Okay, and it's the part that begins right over here. Kvar Amarti. Kvar Amarti B'derech Halatza. Right? He's answering the question, why do we knock out the Roshas Hashem? Lo. You know it all from the Haggadah Shal Pesach, right? Hakei Ashinov, like we say in the Haggadah, knock out the Roshas teeth, blunt his teeth. What's the pshat? So let's just end with one very sweet, simple insight from the Kashan Tzer Magid. What's the idea of knocking out his teeth? And again, Chavra, for those of us who are new to learning Chassidus, this is mamish, one of the essential principles of Torah's Baal Shem Tov, the world of the Baal Shem Tov. Why are you knocking out the Rosh's teeth? So he says, I already explained B'derech Halatza. B'derech Halatza means I'm explaining it like in a somewhat light fashion, but it's a very deep idea. That's why I called it cute. It's not really cute, it's very deep. Al Nusach Af Hata Hakeya Shinov. Knock out the Rosh's teeth. Ma Inyan, what is this Inyan of Nikyon Shinayim L'She'elezos? When the Rasha says, right, well, what's going on here? What's with this Pesach business, right? Ma ha'avoda hazois lachem. What is this avoda that you're doing? So, okay, you don't want to be a part of us? So we punch him in the mouth. We knock out his teeth. What's the pshat? You knock out his teeth. The efshar, you can explain as follows. Ki yesh rishayim mustarim asher heimodim b'miksas. There are some people who are what? Are a Rasha in seclusion in the sense that what? They admit partially, ki yesh la'avod habore b'torah uv'tfila uv'shar mitzvos. There are people who say, I can serve God. Torah, check. Mitzvos, check. Avodas Hashem, sure. Those are all ways you can serve God. Aval eina ma'aminim. But they don't believe. And again, this is one of the things the Baal Shem Tov came to teach the world. Aval eina ma'aminim ki yesh avoda afilu ba'achila u'shasiya v'chol davar gashmi. The Baal Shem Tov said it cannot be that you're only serving Hashem for the couple of hours that you're sitting and learning in the morning. What about the rest of your day? So you're off? You're on vacation from God? Eating lunch has to also be part of serving Hashem. Running my business has to be part of serving Hashem. The mundane conversations that I have also has to be part of serving Hashem. When I'm sitting in traffic on the highway, that has to be part of serving Hashem. There has to be a way to turn the regular stuff of life, the physical activities of life, into avodas Hashem. So there are some Rishonim who say, mitzvos, check, Torah, check, tefillah, that's all called serving God. But eating and drinking, gashmius, that's serving Hashem? They deny such a thing. The ability, laharim nitzotzos uledav kambo yizbarach, to gather in these fallen sparks, to reconnect them to God through mundane activities, no such thing. It's the same kfira that we were just learning about. It's beneath God to say that you could find God in a slice of pizza, right? And sitting in a couple of friends and having a drink. There's no such thing. How could that be? V'zeh ha'sheila ma ha'avoda hazos lachem. And therefore, what does the Rasha say? What is this avoda of lachem? He's hinting to the fact that lachem, we know lachem means what? Lachem l'chol tzarcheichem. What is this avoda for you? Lachem, right? Lachem. What is lachem? In the context elsewhere in the Gemara, lachem means physical activities, right? Like when it talks about how to spend Yom Tov, chatzi lachem, chatzi lachem, half the day for God, half the day for you. What does that mean for you? That means eating, drinking, rejoicing, feasting, having a good time. Olam Hazeh activities. So the Rasha looks at people at the Seder and he says, okay, I get all the frum stuff. I get all the learning and the davening and the mitzvos. But now what you're telling me, that eating and drinking is also lachem, the things you do for your body are also that you're calling service of God? So the Rasha says, I can't buy into such a thing. What, you claim that you're also serving God by doing that? Physical activities? The Rasha laughs at this. So you say to the Rasha, okay, fine. You don't think you could serve God with eating and drinking? Then you know what you do to the Rasha. What do you do to the Rasha? So let's knock out his teeth. Let's knock out his teeth. If you don't believe that what? Your ability to chew a crunchy piece of matzah is mamish a heilige mitzvah. You make fun of that. You think that's silly? Stuffing some flour and water baked in some unleavened fashion is the service of God? Sitting here and eating a steak, the Karban Pesach, that's the service of God? Come on, you're just enjoying a good meal. So we say to the Rasha, okay, you don't want to be a part of it? Hakei Ashinov. We knock out his teeth. If you don't think eating and drinking can be used to serve Hashem, so then, lama tashchis bechinam asalachem. So I'm not going to waste my food on you. Why would I waste my food on someone who's not going to eat it in a way of holiness? Like we were learning this week. Kedusha is two things. Kedusha is achila and intimacy, sexuality. Right, things that are so physical, that service of God, a Rasha, a person who doesn't have a deep perspective on Torah and Avodas Hashem would laugh at that. And that's why, by the way, the Pope chooses to live a celibate lifestyle. Because he can't understand, other religions couldn't chop this idea. That you could serve God with physicality? The Baal Shem Tov said, Lamaisa, most people are not going to be sitting and learning in Kol El all day. Most people are going to be engaged in a very active way with the world, and therefore you have to find a way to make that avodas Hashem. So we say to the Rasha, we're not going to waste our food on you. Ki adam kishaochel kamo behema. What, you think eating is just eating like an animal? So I don't need to give you food. So you're taking the potential of eating and dragging it down further. So better not to even have teeth. Velachein yoser tov lo nikyon chinayim. You'd be better off without teeth. Ki kol ma shabara kadosh baruch hu lo bara el lechvodo. If you don't know how to use it in the service of Hashem, then don't use it at all. Vatzadikim he menasim kol taivos v'chol davar gashmi ha-shamayma. A tzadik, and again, chaver, don't forget, you're all tzadikim. Ba'amich kulam tzadikim. Like the Navi says, every Jew is a tzadik. A tzadik is a person who has the ability to take a davar gashmi and to lift it up. Lasos nachas ruach v'yichudim neflam Hashem ya'ir einenu. Amen. Okay? We will stop here for today, Rabbosai. I hope you enjoyed the words of our Heilige Rebbe.